Seated. Our scripture reading is Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Under the cover of darkness. That sounds like the title of a mystery story or something. Darkness can cover many things. Activities, legitimate or criminal, can go undetected when cloaked in darkness. Darkness can be scary. Children, have you ever been somewhere that was pitch black, dark? So dark that you couldn't see your hand if you held it out in front of you? If you're in a situation like that, what is it that you really want? What is it that you need to see? You need light. Now, the military knows this principle. Enemy forces take advantage of the cover of darkness to gain strategic advantage. Troops and equipment can change positions and go undetected, which is why the military takes measures to prevent that from happening. And since darkness can be dispelled by light, methods have been devised literally to bring light to such nocturnal activities. And one which has been around for a long time is something that's called a trip flare. It's a rather simple device. A trip wire is placed across a path where it might be suspected there will be enemy movement. And if someone comes by and walks into it and trips that line, a flare shoots into the air, illuminating everything around. I've seen this demonstrated at night, and you don't want to be the guy who was trusting in the cover of darkness when that happens. The light of the flare dispels the darkness and leaves him a sitting duck. Well, in the passage we're considering today, Paul says that Christians are light. As we live the way we're supposed to live, as children of light, we expose the deeds of darkness, just like that flare exposed the enemy. This is a reality, Paul explains, because of our relationship with Christ. So tonight we're going to look at this passage with a simple two-part outline. We're going to look at a declaration, and that is, you are light, and then a command, walk as children of light. So we begin with that declaration, you are light. What Paul does in these verses mirrors what he does in the entire epistle. First, he tells believers who they are in Christ, and then he instructs them about what it means to live in light of that reality. This is a pattern of Pauline ethics. In grammatical terms, the indicative, who you are, precedes the imperative, what you are commanded to do. And it's important to grasp this pattern in order to understand what it means to be a Christian. Some people look at all the moral instruction in the Bible, like that's found here in the second half of Ephesians, and they think that one becomes a Christian by adopting the moral code of Christianity. They go to the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount, and they think that their serious effort to abide by such principles makes them a Christian. They think the imperative, what you are to do, precedes the indicative, what you are. Live a moral life, and you're a Christian. But they have it backwards, and we can be glad they do. The fact is that no one can live up to the perfect moral standard set forth in Scripture. God says, be holy as I am holy. The only person who has ever been able to live up to that standard is Jesus. And we may differ a little amongst ourselves when it comes to moral accomplishments, but none of us comes close to the standard of God's perfect holiness, absolute perfection and separation from all sin. If achieving that is what it took to be a Christian, we'd all be lost. There would be no Christians in this world. Well, in a sense, that actually is what it takes to be a Christian. Because God is perfectly holy, he can't lower his standards of holy perfection. If he did, his own holiness would be diminished. We must be sinlessly perfect to be reconciled to God. And the good news is that God, in his mercy, reckons us as holy if he finds us united by faith to the Holy One, Jesus Christ. Let's review a little bit about what Paul said about this earlier in his letter. I want to read chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now that's a wonderful passage. It tells us a number of things. It tells us that we were dead in trespasses. That was our natural condition. And it says that God was rich in mercy, that he loved us with great love, and he showed the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And how are we saved? Well, we're saved by God's grace through faith and not by our own works. By faith, we are spiritually united to Christ and raised up with him into the heavenlies. And then, as a result of our being new creations in Christ, we do good works that God has ordained for us to walk in. You see, God first changes who we are by granting us the gift of faith, uniting us to Christ, clothing us in his righteousness, and then he tells us to go out and live by the ethical standards that he has set for us. We're declared righteous in Christ, who bore the punishment for our sins, and then we're sent forth to live righteously. Our obedience is not how we earn favor with God. It is an act of gratitude by which we respond to God in love. Now, returning to chapter 5, how does Paul express this there? Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Once again, Paul is talking about the change of identity that takes place at conversion. In chapter 4, he talked about the old man being replaced by the new man. And here he describes the change as that of darkness turning to light. The idea of conversion being a change from darkness to light was something Paul learned directly from Jesus when he was converted on the road to Damascus. We read in Acts 26 that the risen Lord said to Paul, I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. At conversion, when one receives forgiveness of sins, he is changed from darkness to light. Note that in Ephesians, Paul doesn't say that they were taken out of darkness and put into light. Other passages use that language, but here Paul says they were darkness, and now they are light themselves. It's not their surroundings he's talking about. It's they themselves who have been changed. And this change is because of their relationship to Jesus. You are light in the Lord. Remember, Jesus is the one who declared, I am the light of the world. And when we are united to him by faith, we join him. We become light. Paul says to the believer, you were once darkness, trapped in sin, separated from God, without hope in the world. And now, by God's grace, you are light, united by faith to Christ in holiness. This is your new identity. It is who you are. You are light. And it is only when Paul has made this declaration that he proceeds to give a command. And that command is, walk as children of light. We see it in verse 8. Now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And again, here we see that pattern of Pauline ethics. He tells us who we are. We're light. Then he tells us how to live. Walk as children of light. Well, what does that mean? Well, he lists a number of things in this passage that we'll work our way through one by one. The first is, we walk as children of light when we bear the fruit of light. We bear the fruit of light. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Earlier in the chapter, Paul had given several triads of terms to describe immoral behavior that was not to characterize Christians. In verse 3, he talked about fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. In verse 4, filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting. And now Paul provides another triad of terms, goodness, righteousness, and truth. And these he describes as the fruit of light. Depending on your translation, you may see the fruit of light or fruit of the Spirit. The manuscripts differ a bit there, but ultimately there's no difference of meaning in them. This is the fruit of the Spirit produced in us. It is the fruit of light. And in this parenthetical comment, Paul tells us that those who are light bear the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth in their lives. These are general terms, but together they constitute a significant description of the Christian life. This is evident when we consider their opposites, which by implication characterize darkness. That would be evil, wickedness, falsehood. Now, these are the things one expects of darkness, and they must be left behind when one becomes light in Christ. The new life is one of goodness, righteousness, and truth. And these are produced in us by the Holy Spirit. You know, this is a more compact list of the fruit of the Spirit than some others that we have in Scripture. But this is what God works in and through us when we are His children. Walking as children of light means bearing that kind of fruit. It also means that we discern what pleases the Lord. Verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And finding out here has the sense of approving, of testing something in order to approve it. It's the same word Paul uses in Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Walking as children of light means seeking to discern the Lord's will for every situation. It means wanting to live only in a way that is acceptable to Him. Well, how can you do that? How can you discern what pleases the Lord? Well, as Paul suggests in Romans 12, this involves the constant renewal of our minds so that we are trained to discern the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And the primary means God has given for that mind renewal is the Bible. It is in Scripture that God reveals His will to us. His ethical will is revealed preeminently in His law. And we must not forsake the treasure of guidance even that is found in the Old Testament law. While certain ceremonial aspects of the law were fulfilled in Christ, the moral core of the Ten Commandments and the core of the case laws that apply those commandments have much to teach us today. And this, of course, has been supplemented by the ethical instructions we find in the New Testament, such as those we're encountering here in the second half of Ephesians. Christian, what is your attitude toward the law of God? Can you sing with honesty that old hymn, "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day"? Or do you find God's instructions chafing and binding, something you resist? Are His standards for sexual conduct something you pretend don't apply to you? Are His directions for observing the Lord's Day something you choose to ignore? Are His condemnation of sins like gossip and anger something you think aren't really all that important? Is your approach to God's law to accept and follow only that which you find convenient and comfortable? If that is the case, then in that regard, you are not walking as a child of light. You are called to prove what is we are called to prove not what is acceptable to you, but what is acceptable to God. So commit yourself afresh to attend to his word with an eye to discerning his will for your life. Come to the worship service expecting to receive divine guidance as his word is read and as is preached. And have the same sense of expectancy in your daily Bible reading. Mind God's word, mind God's law for specific precepts and general principles, and ask him to use those to renew your mind and to transform your walk so that it is more in accord with who you are in Christ. This is how you can find out what is acceptable to the Lord. But a third way to walk as a child of light, is to expose the works of darkness. Verses 11 and 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Now, Paul issues a negative command here, followed by a positive command. He says, first, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And you'll recall that in verse 9, he spoke of the fruit of light as goodness, righteousness, and truth. Light is fruitful unto these things. Darkness and all its works are unfruitful, sterile, incapable of producing such things. In context, Paul may still be thinking of the various forms of sexual immorality he had addressed as the works of darkness. And this accords with what he goes on to say, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Paul seems to be echoing what we saw last week in his condemnation of immoral sex walk and sex talk. His point now is that walking as a child of light means having no part in the works of darkness. You need to separate yourself from such activities. And this refers to more than just sexual immorality. And Paul states it in a more general way in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Now, we're not called entirely to separate ourselves from the sinful world, but we are called to refuse to join the world in its sin. Light cannot have that kind of communion with darkness. And Paul begins then with this negative command, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But then he gives a positive command, but rather expose them. And this is the natural byproduct of living as children of light. Recall that trip flare I mentioned earlier. As soon as that flare is set off, the darkness is expelled, and what was formerly hidden is revealed. And that's what Paul says our lives are to do. We are light. When we are faithfully walking as children of light, our light will expose the deeds of darkness all around us. The fruits of goodness, righteousness, and truth in our lives will present such a powerful contrast to the unfruitful works of darkness that they will be revealed for what they are. And in this context, this is not primarily a matter of our words, but of our walk. This is not telling us to start verbally rebuking unbelievers around us for all their sins. Rather, it is a command to live in such a way that our very lives expose the works of darkness by contrast. And I think we live in a day where this will become more and more powerful, because increasingly we are going to be a minority in our culture if we are faithful to the moral teachings of Scripture. And as people who are trapped in darkness experience the awful fruit of that in their lives, and as we see more and more marriages fall apart and people just so confused about sexual morality and all these other things, there will be light shining forth from Christians who, by God's grace, imperfectly and yet sincerely, are seeking to honor Him in their lives. And I think that one of the most powerful ways in which we can address the issue of sexual confusion in our culture and the immorality that's being promoted as the new morality is to simply be faithful in our lives in this regard. And to have families, to have couples that are living out godly principles And that more and more, as the darkness increases, that light is going to shine brighter. So I think this is very, very appropriate for us to be considering, especially in our day. But a fourth thing that this means in terms of walking as children of light is that we pray for gospel impact. Verses 13 through 14. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, these verses are somewhat difficult to translate and to interpret, and I think their meaning is obscured in some translations, including ours here. Paul seems to actually be saying that those things exposed by the light become visible and become light themselves. And here I think the ESV is more literal. It says, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. And what Paul seems to be saying is that the light that exposes can also have a transforming impact on what is exposed. Just as the Ephesian believers were once darkness, but are now light, so some of those whose works of darkness will be exposed will themselves become light. When we live in light of our conversion, we can hope to be instruments in the conversion of others. J.B. Phillips captures this idea in his paraphrase. It is even possible, after all it happened to you, for light to turn the thing it shines upon into light also. And when this happens, of course, it's the sovereign work of God. But our faithful walking as children of light is one of the means God uses to make sinners aware of their sinfulness and then to draw them to himself. It is this same dynamic that Jesus spoke of when he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are to live in a way that is so distinctively different from the world around us that they will not be able to help but see our good works. And they can't account for things sometimes within their frame of reference. They see that we're different, and some of them are going to ask us why. And this is why Peter indicates, this is what Peter indicates, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. And we use that verse a lot to talk about apologetics, but do you see what Peter's assumption is? He assumes that people will be coming to us, asking us about the hope that they see evident within us. Walking as children of light will expose the works of darkness and provide a winsome witness that will bring people to us asking why we're different, why we behave in a different way, why and how we can remain hopeful in a world that seems to be so hopeless. And this opens the door to gospel witness that will lead them to glorify our Father in heaven if the Lord blesses that witness unto their conversion. And notice how Paul brings us back to Christ in conversion in verse 14 of Ephesians 5. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Scholars think this may be an early Christian hymn that's based on several Old Testament passages. It recognizes Christ as the light giver and conversion as a passage from death to life. And this is what you've experienced if you've trusted in Christ for your salvation. It is why you are now light in the Lord. It is the foundation from which you are called to walk as a child of light. And it is also a reminder that your walk should be so compellingly different that doors are open to share the gospel with others. Is your life like that? It can be. The same Christ who brought you from death to life, from darkness to light, can use you as he pours out his mercy on others. So, Christian, remember who you are. You are light. And this is not because of your own moral efforts, but because of the righteousness of Christ in which you have a share by faith. So because you are light, walk as a child of light. Bear the fruit of light, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Discern what pleases the Lord. Commit yourself to pursuing His will above all else in your life by immersing yourself in His Word with the desire and expectancy that He will guide you by it. Expose the works of darkness by the contrast of your life. If you discern the will of the Lord and obey it, your life will dispel the darkness around you like a flare that pushes back the cover of darkness. And pray for your life to have an impact for the gospel. Let your works and your words point others to the Heavenly Father. Believe that what He did for you, He can do for others, even through your witness. And may we pursue all these things, knowing that they are not the means of obtaining favor with God. Rather, they are our grateful response to the favor that He has already shown us in Christ. That is the glorious message of the gospel.